Don't ever give up. Just pray. Thank you, choir. 378, The Haven of Rest. Stand one more time if you would. My soul in sad exile. 378, singing,
my soul in sad exile was out of my sea.
A cappella on the second verse now.
I yield myself to his tender embrace and faith, taking all of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord.
Sing, invitation. Heed that on the last verse, singing,
oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come, anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine.
Come on together, singing,
seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Well, amen. Haven't the songs been good this morning? You know, I hope that you'll learn when you come to church, pick up a hymn book and sing. It's part of the interaction of worship that we have together, because in just a moment I'm going to have you seated and you're going to have to listen a little while. So get involved with the worship service. Grab your hymn book when you come to church. Sing out as unto the Lord. Please remember, if you were not in Sunday school this morning, this is an opportunity. It's offering time. It's an opportunity as a member of this church that we get to give back to the Lord as He has blessed us and as He has prospered us. And visitors, we do ask that you detach the information about yourself and drop it in the offering plate when it passes in just a moment. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's ask God to meet with us this morning. My Father, we do ask, please, that you would show favor upon this congregation this morning. Would you open our heart and our spirit to what you have for us? I ask, sweet Holy Spirit, that you would supersede the voice of the preacher this morning and that you would speak to every heart meet every need this morning that needs to be met. Father, if there are those who need Christ, let today be that glorious day of salvation for them. If there are those, Lord, that are prodigals and away from God, that today would be the day they return back from the pig pen, back into fellowship with Christ. I pray, my Father, please, that you do your work and that we might see the results of your work throughout the remainder of this service. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for all that we've done so far in honor and worship of thee. Now, Father, would you take the offering that we're about to receive? Bless it, we pray, multiple times over to the promotion of the message of Jesus Christ, not just in America, but around the world. Bless your people for their gift this morning. Take it, we ask, Lord, I pray, and show favor upon it in Jesus' name. Amen.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and they mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. And he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. But he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
God. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Shaddix, and for that song. And praise God, he died alone for you and for me. You know, if you're a believer this morning, don't take that for granted. You know, we were talking in our prayer meeting this morning about just trying to get you, wrap your mind around heaven. Wrap your mind around God. And, you know, most of our minds, when you try to just think about that, it just kind of comes back and says, cannot compute, cannot compute. But let me tell you something. One day when we see him face to face, you're going to understand. You're going to understand how much more he deserved to be worshiped. How much more honor that he deserved from our lives and what we have given him. And yet, here we are this morning in a worship time. A time that, listen, this could be the last worship service that we get to experience before Jesus returns. Let's do a good job. Let's praise the Lord this morning and thank him for his goodness. Take your Bible, if you would, Ezekiel chapter number 22. I'm going to test your Bible knowledge out this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 22 is where we're going to be. Now, while you're turning there, let me just kind of give you some idea about what we're about to get ourselves into this morning in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel was a prophet during a time when the people of God had kind of lost their priorities and kind of gotten astray from what they should be doing. It's not that they didn't know what to do. It's just they got astray from what they should be doing and what the priorities were. And the things had gotten so far out of hand that it had reached all the way from inside the what we would consider the local assembly, the local church. It had reached the highest place of politics in the land. It had reached even to the people of the land. And the people, from the highest down to the common man, things had gotten totally out of hand. Priorities were totally out of whack. And boy, let me tell you something. When your priorities get out of whack, God takes second, third, or fourth place in your country and in your life, you are in a world of hurt, my friend, when a country and a people turn their back on God. That's kind of where Ezekiel was. Now, we're going to pick up our reading in verse number 23, so would you stand with me this morning out of love and respect for the Word of God? The Scripture says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, say unto her," that's Israel, the people of God, "thou art the land that is not cleansed, not rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets." Now, either underline or circle that. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. "In the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests," circle that, we'll come back to that in a minute, "have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." Her princes, circle that. Now we've reached the hierarchy of the country. Now we've kind of reached the politics of the country. He said, "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and destroy souls and get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord," "when the Lord hath not spoken." Now, folks, there's a lot of that baloney right there going on today. Be very careful when you hear someone say, "Thus saith the Lord." No, you have "Thus saith the Lord" in your hands. Okay? Be careful when you see or hear someone beginning to proclaim and say, "I need to tell you something that God forgot to record in the Bible." You need to mark that person. He says, they say, there's divining lies, saying, thus saith the Lord when the Lord hath not spoken. And then he finally gets to the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. They have sought for a man among them. You see that word them there? He's referring all the way back to the prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people. He said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. Now here's some sad words right here. But I found none. I found none. Now I want you to go back and look, if you would, in verse number 30. He said, I sought for a man. And then I want you to look in the middle of that verse. And stand, and sought for a man among them to stand in the gap. And I want to take that verse right there and I want to preach to you about what God's looking for today. He's looking for a gap man. He's looking for a gap woman. He's looking for a gap teenager. He's looking for gap kids. Somebody that's willing to stand in the place for him and proclaim the word and truth and morality in our day. He said, I looked around among the prophets, the priests, the princes and the people. And he said, but I found none. I just wonder if God's looking around this congregation this morning, if he could find anybody like that today. I wonder if he's looking this morning, looking for someone in this congregation that's willing to stand up for Jesus Christ this morning in the face of adversity. I want to talk to you on that subject this morning from verse number 30. Father, would you bless us now? Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have this morning to serve the living God. Lord, we do not take for granted the opportunity that you've given us. We realize, Lord, this could be it. This could be the last service that we get to serve, to worship, and to be around the teaching and preaching of your word. Help us to learn. Please, Lord God, open the hearts of the people. Bind the strong man off of this service that he not steal the seed of the word of God as it goes forth from the hearts of the people. Now, Father, I pray, would you move in a wonderful way? Convict our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The congregation, the prophet Ezekiel was living in a time of what seemed to be national separation from God. They had separated themselves from God. They had separated themselves from the worship of God. They had separated themselves from the Word of God. Listen, and eventually they had separated themselves from the will of God as well. The leadership, both political and social and spiritual, had lost focus on what their purpose of existence was. Let me ask you this morning, have you lost focus on why you exist? Have you lost focus on why God created you and put you on this earth? Why are we here? We have a purpose. We must not lose the purpose of why God has created us and put us here. You see, their agenda was no longer what is best for their country. Their agenda was no longer what is best for the people, what is best for the churches. They had all of a sudden gotten to a place to where they had determined, I'm going to live in a level and a life is what's best for me. How do I see things and what's best for me today? Listen, this so extended and it was so saturated, this country and this people, that it had reached to the prophets. It had reached to the priests. Listen, the Bible says that it had climbed all the way to the highest in the land, to the princes in the land, the highest offices of politics, the places of the church, from the pulpit to the White House, wherever it may be. He said it's reached everywhere. And then he talked about that it reached to the people. You see, the condition of Israel, folks, in this day, what had happened, they had made themselves idols. Isn't it amazing how that so many people, they seem to want to worship, but they want to worship something tangible, something they can touch, something they can see. And Israel had made themselves gods to worship. You say, well, preacher, I don't worship a false god. I don't have an idol that I worship. Yeah, but you know what? Today, it's a little difficult. Today, people worship their finances. They worship their jobs. They worship different things in different ways. But listen, regardless, it's idolatry. Anything that you put in front of God is idolatry. And they had put themselves and they put their lives and their livelihoods in front of God. We find in Scripture that they lacked the value of human life. It talked about how the princes shed blood. The value of human life. Boy, it kind of sounds like where we are today, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how the value of human life has now taken such a low seat in humanity today? It is, listen to me, folks, the value of life is so at a place today that we don't even care about the unborn. We'd just soon kill them in the womb. Amen. Hey, we live in a land today. Hey, listen to me. Some of you older people today, if some had their way, they'd give you a pill and sit you in the corner somewhere. And say, listen, we'll come back to you when you expire and then we'll put you away. But listen, I'm saying to you today that in this day of Ezekiel, human life had been devalued so to the point that nobody cared about one another. Holy things and God's holy day had been deemed irrelevant in their day. Church was no longer important. Worship was no longer important. The holy things of God were no longer important. Immorality and perversion had become widely accepted, listen to me, as the norm. That's what's happening, folks, to us today. Immorality in our country and around the world is being accepted as the norm, and yet the Bible calls it sin. It's wrong. It's an abomination before God. He talked about here about adultery and fornication and lewdness of dress and incest was going on. And you say, oh, preacher, that's so bad. Folks, listen, it's the same thing that's happening in our country today. It's happening here in America. Immorality and perversion was widely spread. Greed for financial gain had reached its apex. Listen, people were taking advantage of the less fortunate. They were trying to take advantage for financial gain. There was manipulation going on. You see, there were gain for by dishonesty. There was extortion and manipulation of the weak and feeble-minded. You see, Jehovah God was not even on the radar or in the same zip code with these people. They were so far away from Him that they could not even see where they needed to go. And let me say something to you, folks. You need to listen very carefully. It had so saturated these people that it had found its way inside to the religious. It had found its way to the hierarchy of the country. And then it had also found its way to the people as well. The people were beginning to take advantage of one another. When you go down and look, if you would, in verse 29, look at it. What happened to the people because of the religious leadership and the political leadership of the land had become so corrupt that the people of the land began to take on an attitude. If you'll notice in verse 29, it says that the people of the land used oppression. You say, like what? Bullying one another. Discrimination was going on. Profiling was going on. Sexual harassment was going on. All of the same things going on in this day that are going on in our day. He said that there was oppression. Look, he said they were exercised robbery. You know, one of the things that's going on today that is so out of control today that people are afraid to give their personal information or social security card to anybody. And that is identity theft. And the thing about it is, most people don't even care. They'd just soon steal your ID and take every cent that you have for themselves. See, this attitude had been bred by the political hierarchy and by the spiritual hierarchy in the land. There was identity theft and people stealing information and false ID and all the things that we see today going on in their day as well. You say, man, it is a bad time, yeah? So bad it said they vex the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. You see, Ezekiel's point was this. The gap is getting larger. The gap is beginning to enlarge itself. And why is the gap getting bigger? Because God says, I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for a man, a woman, a teenager, a kid. Somebody that'll stand in their generation and stand for me. Did you notice it said, in the land? Folks, we are where we are. God has put us where we are today to stand up and proclaim His name, that He should be preeminent rather than ourselves. God said, I'm looking for somebody. I think God's scanning this congregation today You know what he's looking for? He's looking for people. He's looking for somebody that'll stand up for Jesus Christ in our day. When I was a kid, I remember getting up on Saturday mornings and turning on the television set and watching my favorite cartoons. Anybody do that? I don't even know if they have cartoons anymore. But my favorite cartoons were the superheroes. Superman. I used to love to watch Superman. I used to love to watch Batman. I used to love to watch Iron Man. I used to love to watch Spider-Man. Man, these guys were incredible. And man, listen. And I thought to myself as a little boy, one day, I'm going to be climbing the walls. I'm the one that's going to be rescuing people from danger. I'm going to be the one that's going to be standing. Listen, I'm going to be Spider-Man. I'm going to be Batman. I'm going to be Superman. I'm going to be one of these superheroes. But you notice something, as I got older, I noticed that all of these men, all of these cartoon characters, these superheroes, were all defenders of good. They were all defenders of truth. There was a day where the bad man was a bad man. There was a day when the evil man was evil. He was bad. He was wrong. My goodness, today everybody's cheering for the evil man to bring down the good guy. And yet they fought for good and truth. They fought evil and stood for things that were right. You see, these superheroes would protect people. They would help people. They would defend people from evil and harm's way. Hey, they were not afraid, listen, or ashamed of who they were. Nor were they resistant to the challenges of the day. What I'm trying to say this morning, kids everywhere today, then and now, still when they see this, they have the aspiration to become a superhero. They are saying, listen, one of these days, Superman, Batman, that's going to be me. You know why I know that? Because you see these little kids running around in their Superman pajamas. Or Batman, right? Amen, Brother Combs, you got one of them. Yeah, hey, they're running around in their superhero costumes. Listen, yes, they're pretending. But I'm here to tell you today, God's not looking for a Superman. God's not looking for a Batman. God's not looking for a Spider-Man or an Iron Man. Listen to me this morning. God's looking for a gap man. God's looking for somebody that's willing to stand in the gap, stand for good, stand for right, stand for truth. Hey, he's not looking for somebody to wear some kind of funny costume or mask or carry something in their hand. What God is looking for today, he's looking for a gap man, a gap woman, somebody that'll just take faith. Somebody that'll just have a burden for souls. Somebody that'll have compassion in their heart and take the word of God in their hand and proclaim Jesus Christ. Him crucified, buried, and risen again. That's what he's looking for. Hey, gap man doesn't have to be some kind of supernatural individual. Listen, God's just looking for a person that's willing to stand in the gap. Listen to me. He'll supply the supernatural things. He'll supply the supernatural things that will cause you to become a superhero for Jesus Christ. You see, gap man just needs to be a person that's willing, submissive, sacrificial, somebody that's bold, somebody that can be encouraging, somebody that's long-suffering, giving, serving, committed, consistent, consecrated to God. You say, man, that's a long list. You mean I got to do all that? Yes! Or you can't be gap man. You see, gap man's not a wimp. Gap man is not weak. He's not worldly. He's not wayward. But you know what gap man does? Gap woman, gap teen, gap kid. You know what they do? They weep for souls. They work for God. They wrestle. They wrestle against principalities and powers. They worship the Lord God. They're where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. They withstand the evil one. They witness for Christ. They warn people about the coming condemnation of those who know not Jesus Christ. They walk with God. You say, who is this person? This gap man. That's who this person is. I wonder how many people want to be this guy. Oh no, we're okay. We're all for being Batman, right?
because that's pretend. We're all for being Spider-Man because that's pretend. We're all for being Superman because all that's pretend. Listen to me, folks. Pinch yourself, because what I'm talking about this morning, we're talking about somebody real. We're talking about God is actually looking for somebody to fill this position. He's called Gap Man. Somebody that'll stand for right and truth. You want to be that guy? He said, man, there's opposition. Well, Superman faced opposition. He said, but people may not like me. They like Batman. Isn't it amazing how we'll embrace him and nobody cared for him either? But by the way, did you notice the people that didn't care for him? It was all the bad guys. But there's somebody for you. There's somebody on your side. There's somebody that's willing to supply supernatural power if you'll just stand in the gap for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I'm going to give you a couple of things to think about that we today need to stand in the gap, that we today that need to make known to the world today. The first thing I want to talk to you is if this morning God's looking for somebody. He's looking for a gap man, a gap woman, a gap teen, a gap kid to stand in the gap of knowledge this morning. Listen to what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15:34. Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, there are some that know not God. There are some that actually believe in some type of theistic evolution or evolutionary process. You know what? They're learning this. They're being taught this. They have not the knowledge of God. They actually think we came from a tadpole. You know that's not true, right? Y'all looking at me like, we didn't? Hey, let me tell you something. I didn't just get formed from some type of dust floating around in the atmosphere, and all of a sudden God lit it and went, bang! And I came into existence. You say, we didn't? No! But you know that some of the world believes that? God's looking for gap man, gap woman, somebody to help proclaim what the knowledge and the truth actually is. Proverbs 19:2 says this, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. It's not good. You say, what do we need to tell folks, preacher? Folks, let me say something to you. Our nation today is saturated with ignorance. It's saturated with ignorance. You say, who's behind this? The devil. The bad guy, the evil one, the one that God says, hey, can I find a gap man? Can I find a gap woman, a gap teen, a gap kid that'll fight the enemy? That'll proclaim knowledge. You say, what do we need to proclaim, preacher? Take your Bible, if you would, go to Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans into the New Testament. We're going to hop around for a few moments. Romans chapter 3, look at it if you would. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge. Does your Bible say sin right there? Hey folks, listen to me. You'd be amazed at what definition the world has of sin. You see, well, no, preacher, we know sin's bad. It's wrong. And we know that people shouldn't do that. But wait a minute now. The rest of the world has redefined it. Somebody's going to have to stand in the gap and go back and define sin the way the Bible defines it. It's an abomination. It's transgression against God. God despises it. Look what else he says. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, we've got to proclaim the knowledge of sin, folks. Hey, listen, sin is sin, and God defines what it is. It's a transgression against the Word of God, the laws of God. God has defined it, and we are unable to eliminate it from our lives. People today are trying everything they can to escape sin. They're trying everything they can to undo the bad things in their life. Listen, what we've got to do is we've got to just proclaim what the knowledge of sin is. Yes, if you'll admit that you've sinned against the thrice holy God, that you're guilty of sin, and that God looks at it as an abomination in our lives. Listen, sin is anything that violates the holiness of God. Anything. What I'm saying to you today, folks, you know what the world needs? God's looking for a gap man. He's looking for a gap woman that'll be willing to proclaim the knowledge of sin. That yes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anybody want to stand in that gap? Anybody want to take the mantle of God and put that cape on and become a superhero in the eyes of God and say, yes, I'll be gap man. I'll be gap woman. Well, get ready. Because the second thing you need to know is this. When you begin to proclaim the knowledge of sin, you will also need to proclaim the knowledge of Satan as well. Because you will be attacked. Hey, when Superman and Batman and Spider-Man, all these guys showed up, evil didn't just say, oh man, I can't believe, and just walked away and said, man, he just messed up my party. He just messed up my plans. No, you know what they did? They became obstinate toward them. They became resistant toward them. Now folks, listen, we live in a cupcake society today. Believers, everybody look up here as believers. We today, compared to some of our forefathers, we live in cupcake Christianity, my friend. We live in a day to where we don't find anybody threatening us. We don't find anybody busting our windows out or cutting our tires or threatening our lives or threatening to take us and put us in prison yet. I'm here to tell you, God's looking for a person to stand in the gap. Hey, listen, we need to let people know the knowledge of sin, but also the knowledge of Satan. Because according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, the scripture is very plain. He is as a roaring lion, walking about. Wait a minute now, he's not waiting for you to come to him. Seeking, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. We got to let people know there's a lion loose. Listen, God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap of our society and say, listen, there's a lion out of the cage. I promise you, go into downtown Fort Worth, downtown Dallas, to the West End and stand in the middle of the street and start screaming, there's a lion loose. You know what they're going to do to you? First of all, they're going to ask you, where's the lion? You say, well, you can't see him, but he's loose. Well, what's he after? He's after you. He's after me. Well, has anybody been harmed? Oh, millions. Millions. What's he doing with them? Taking them to hell. You see, somebody's got to tell them the knowledge that we have an adversary. We have an opponent. And he desires to destroy your life, your family. Oh, by the way, he wants to destroy this church. He desires, listen, he is so wicked, so mean, so evil, he wants people to burn in hell, folks, for all eternity. You say, who's going to stop him? Gap man. Gap woman. Gap teen. Gap kid. Somebody's got to let them know the knowledge of sin. Somebody's got to let them know the knowledge of Satan. Oh, but listen to me. Somebody's got to let them know the knowledge of the Savior. Somebody's got to let them know, hey, listen, you don't have to die. You don't have to die with Christ or without Christ. Somebody can let them know the truth. Like what? Well, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen now, no man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. One way and one way only. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody's got to let them know, yeah, it's bad. Yeah, there's sin. Yes, there's a devil. But listen, there's a God in heaven that sent His only begotten Son. Listen, God incarnate in flesh died for the sins of the whole world. But God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, we've got to, somebody's going to have to proclaim this. And that not only did He die for the souls of sinners, but He rose from the dead, victorious over sin and for the glory of Almighty God. And now sits at the right hand of the Father. Are you glad this morning that you know Jesus? Huh? Are you glad this morning if you know Jesus Christ? Are you glad that you know Him and that somebody proclaimed the truth to you? And you got gloriously born again? You know, the little song says, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of glory. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. Are you? Somebody decided to stand in the gap. I'm looking at a guy right here that stood in the gap. I'm looking at people around here that stood in the gap. Hey, listen, you say, well, you would have probably eventually gotten saved. I don't know that. I don't know. By the way, you can't take a chance and knowing that, well, my mom and dad will get saved eventually. My grandma and grandpa will get saved eventually. Listen, they're not if somebody don't stand in the gap for them. If somebody don't help them with the process of being born again. So we've got to proclaim and stand in the gap to tell people the knowledge of sin and Satan the Savior. Let me move on and just simply say, somebody's going to have to proclaim the knowledge of the Scriptures. We have in our hands today the complete, inerrant, inspired Word of God for us in the English language. Well, look at there. It says the King James Bible. For us today in the English language, somebody is going to have to proclaim the knowledge that God has given us a word for the English-speaking world, and we have it right there. You say, oh, preacher, I done been to the bookstore. There's over 100 different Bibles that we have to choose from. Let me ask you something. If you go to Home Depot, you buy something in a box, you take it home, you open it up, and it's got a manual that thick, and it says 50 different ways to put this thing together. You're thinking, 50 different ways? But there's a little tag at the bottom that says, but only one way is the right way. And you're like, well, how am I supposed to figure this out? How am I supposed to put 50 different manuals to put this together, but only one of them's right? Hey, folks, listen. You say, that's crazy, preacher. It's no more crazy than people think there's 100 different versions of the Bible. Hey, you want to get your life put back together? Stick with the Word. Somebody's going to have to stand up and say, we have it in the English Bible, in our King James Bible, and I'm willing to do that. Somebody's going to have to become a gap man. Somebody's going to have to become a gap woman this morning, a gap teen, a gap kid. Let me finish up and say a couple of things real quick. Somebody's going to have to stand not only in the gap of knowledge, somebody's going to have to stand in the gap of repentance. Amen, preacher. Somebody is going to have to proclaim that if we're going to get this right, listen to me, folks, we're going to have to repent. We're going to have to repent toward a thrice holy God. And none of this come to the altar and say, oh, Lord, forgive me my sins and bless America, send revival. Amen. God's like, we're talking about sincerity, folks. We're talking about true, sincere repentance. A turning of our attitude from wrong to right. You see, the message from God has always been for the people of God to repent. You see, when you go from self-promotion to godly sorrow and conviction, that equals salvation. When you go from self-righteousness to Christ-likeness, that equals separation. When you go from being a self-made person to a God-paid person, that equals service, that's submission. That's when you can read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and say, glory to God. You say, what does it say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your, help me now, reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you what now? Transformed. By the renewing of your mind. Moses proclaimed repentance from Exodus through Deuteronomy. David proclaimed repentance in Psalm 51. The prophets proclaimed repentance. John the Baptist proclaimed repentance in Matthew 3. Jesus came. You know what Jesus' first message was? Repent! You say, that wasn't his first. Go read it. You said, no, the Sermon on the Mount. No, his first one was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So he said, the scripture says Jesus proclaimed repentance. Hey, the apostles proclaimed repentance. You said they did? Yeah, go read Acts chapter 2. Isn't that what Peter said? Didn't he call the people to repent? to change their direction about from self to Jesus Christ? Paul promoted repentance in Acts chapter 26. Hey, listen, God's looking for somebody. He's looking for a gap man, a gap woman, a gap teen, a gap kid that's willing to stand in this generation and say, repent! We got to repent. There's got to be a change of attitude this morning. Hey, folks, listen, America's not changing unless you change. The people of God's going to have to change our attitude. We're going to change our spirit. God's, listen, He's not looking for a masked superhero. He's just looking for a believer that's willing to stand in the gap and proclaim knowledge, proclaim repentance. Lastly, and that is proclaim consecration. Consecration. You see, the consecration of a believer is the path to favor and blessings of God. Folks, too many of us that have become believers, we're toying with this thing of Christianity. This is like some kind of little game that we're playing. We're like getting with our kids and we're playing dominoes, or it's like playing Candyland, or it's like playing Risk or Clue or something. We play a game with this thing, Christianity, and yet God says, no, no, this is serious business. Christianity is serious business. Somebody's going to have to proclaim the consecration of self. Hey, listen, folks. The scripture is very plain, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, that we're to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Listen to me now. We're to walk the part. We're to talk the part. We're to look the part. We're to work the part. We're to worship the part. God needs those that will stand in the gap, listen to me, that will walk the walk and not just talk the talk. He's looking for a gap man, a woman, a teen, a child that will consecrate themselves to the Lord. He's looking for somebody to consecrate self. Listen now, He's looking for people who will consecrate service. When you read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David gathered the material for the building of the temple, and then he made this proclamation. Who will consecrate themselves today to the service of the Lord? Who will consecrate their service to the Lord? Hey, folks, why are we serving? Why are we coming? Why are we doing what we do? There should be a motive behind what we do. There should be consecration of self. There should be consecration of service. And as I mentioned a while ago, there should be the consecration of Scripture. You know what, folks? The Word of God that I hold in my hand. Do you know if my house caught on fire, I'm getting that out before I get any money out. I'm getting that out before I get anything of any other value. Listen, my family's coming out, and after I get my family out, I'm going back for my Bible. That's how much it means to me. You see, somewhere we got to consecrate that this is the final authority for all practices of faith in the Christian life. It either is or it isn't. You see, the day will come, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, when some will not endure sound doctrine. So all I'm saying to you this morning, you know what God's looking for? Not Batman. Not Spider-Man. You know what you ought to do, mamas? You ought to go home, for those of you that can sew and you got children, you ought to go home and make your child some pajamas and just call them Gap Man. I'm just asking, who's willing to be a superhero for God today? Who wants to become Gap Man? Who wants to become Gap Woman? Who wants to become Gap Teen, Gap Kid? You see, God's not looking for somebody that's flashy. He's not looking for somebody that's charismatic or self-made. He's just searching this congregation for anyone who would just be willing to stand. In Ezekiel's day, God looked. He said, we're corrupt from the politicians to the prophets and priests to the people. He says, our land is saturated with corruption. He said, I looked around to see if I could find a man, a woman, a teen, a child, somebody that'll stand in the gap. The problem is, the sad day in Ezekiel's day, God said, I found none. Nobody. I wonder if God's looking in this congregation today for you to take a stand and you become Gap Man, Gap Woman, Gap Teen, Gap Kid. Are you willing? Are you willing to stand for Christ? Are you willing to, in our day of adversity and oppression? God's looking for somebody. Listen, folks, the world, two-thirds of the world is lost without Jesus Christ. Who's going to go tell them? Who's going to stand and proclaim the Word of God in the streets and in our city? And listen, school is about to start. Who's going to proclaim the Word of God in our schools? You kids are about to go to school in a week. Some of you start tomorrow. You want to do something for God that'll please the Lord? Be Gap Teen. Be Gap Kid. And proclaim the Word of God for Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. I wonder how many believers this morning would be willing to raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I have had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. No question about it. If I die today going to heaven, I want you to slip your hand up. Say, that's me. As a testimony before the Lord, just raise it way up. Way up. Say, I have already been born into the family of God." All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Almost without exception, there was probably 90, 95% of the hands raised, but there were quite a few that could not raise their hand. And for those of you this morning that could not raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I know for sure that heaven's my home," please don't leave today without knowing Jesus Christ. This could be the last service that you'll ever attend. This could be the last opportunity that you ever have to put your faith and trust in Christ. God has sent you here for this message this morning. I wonder how many of you this morning that could not raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm saved," you'd at least let me pray for you. You say, "I have some doubt about where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't want to die without Christ, preacher. But I have some doubt about where I'm going after death." And you say, "Please pray for me." Nobody's looking but me. Would you slip your hand up and just let me know so I can pray for you? Just slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. Slip it up. Slip it up. Just say, "Preacher, that's me." Just slip your hand up. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. It's not that I don't want to. I don't want to know, preacher. I do want to know. Pray for me." Anybody will join this one? Join this and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. There's three right there. Anybody join these three? Say, "Preacher, pray for me." God bless you. There's a fourth one right there. Any teenager, any young person, say, "Preacher, pray. Please pray for me. If I died where I am, I'm not sure heaven's my home. I don't want to die without Christ. Pray for me." God bless you. You can put your hand down, brother. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody else will join these five. All right? Then with heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if there might be someone here today that say, "Preacher, I'm already saved, but I've never been baptized. After I got saved, I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me." Someone has either talked to you about that, you know it's the right thing, but you say, "Preacher, I've just never obeyed God in that area. Pray for me." Would you let me pray for you, but slip your hand up. Say, "Preacher, I've already been saved. I've already trusted Christ, but I've never been baptized after I got saved." All right? God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Good, good. Bunch of these teenagers raising their hands. How many will join these five or six that raise their hand and say, "Preacher, I've already been saved"? Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Now I want to say, with the heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, those of you that raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I don't know Christ as Savior," I want to take just a moment. Nobody's looking at me. If you raised your hand, I want you to look right up here at me for just a moment. Only those who said, "Preacher, I need to be saved." Nobody's looking but these four or five. Would you look right up here at me for just a moment? Did you mean what you said? Do you want heaven as your home? Do you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you want to walk the streets of gold and be eternally saved and in the presence of God one day? And if the trumpet sounded this afternoon, do you want to go meet the Lord in the air? And so shall you ever be with the Lord? If you meant what you say, I can't see everybody that raised their hand, but if you're looking at me, don't pass the opportunity by. This could be your last chance. It could be your last opportunity this morning. Now, Father, I ask you, please, do your work. I pray that those that raised their hand, Lord, if they felt convicted enough to raise their hand, that they would feel convicted enough to take care of that piece of business for Christ today. Even as I'm praying, Lord, they could slip out of the aisle and come. We'll have a lady show them how to be saved. If they're a man, we'll have a man show them how to trust Christ. This is the most important decision in all eternity. Would you have your way now, please? And Lord, would you draw your people? Some need to be baptized. There was five or six that raised their hand. I pray that they would come this morning. If for no other reason, for somebody to pray for them. If they're not old enough or they don't have parental permission to be baptized, that they would come, Lord, and fulfill that desire of their heart. And then there's a lot of the people of God this morning. We need people that'll be a gap man, a gap woman, a gap teen, a gap child. Somebody that'll stand, Lord, in the gap for Christ and proclaim truth. Would you have your way, please? Convict our hearts. Draw us, I pray, to salvation for those who need to be saved. Maybe there are some this morning, they're just prodigal away from God, that today would be that day of restoration for them in Jesus' name. Now with our heads bowed and